Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Good. We were talking before we started recording, and you kind of never cease to amaze me. You come up with some stuff that I'm just like shaking my head over, and not only do you come up with it, you like want to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. You didn't know what you were getting into with this podcast.
Well, yeah. And so what I'm talking about is that Mark said, I'd really like to talk about the fullness of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, I've never wanted to talk about that. And I don't know that I know of hardly anybody that's ever wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
At least it hasn't been part of Followers of Christ. So
yeah.
What about that topic is so interesting to you, Mark?
Right. Well, it's interesting to me is one way of saying it. It's been impactful for me. It's been a big part of my life.
I mean, just that statement alone.
Yeah.
That the fullness of the Gentiles has been a big part of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't know what to say about that. That's really interesting.
Okay. Well, in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, it's from Romans 11. And the Romans 11, 25 and 26 says this. And it even starts, the heading in the ESV starts with the mystery of Israel's salvation, mm-hmm. is what it says. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Now, to be fair, I said I want to talk about the fullness of the Gentiles. And out of this whole scripture that I just read, the only thing that I was ever really told my whole life was the fullness of the Gentiles has come in.
The phrase.
The phrase.
Fullness of the Gentiles has come in.
Yep. And this explained why we didn't have, this was an explanation for why we didn't have preaching, why we didn't have baptism, why we didn't evangelize, because the time for Gentiles to be saved had come to an end, is the way this was taught.
The phrase itself was taught.
The phrase itself was taught. And, I mean, in their defense, they wouldn't have, they were looking at the KJV, and I don't know, I don't remember there being many headings in the...
There are some, but...
The connection of the mystery of Israel's salvation, that just was never, no connection was ever made to me with any of that. It was just simply, we were the last Gentiles that were going to be saved, and this phrase seemed to fit with the situation we had found ourselves in.
And that probably is the issue, isn't it? That the phrase fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a huge problem that we would... We've talked about how to read your Bible or how not to mm-hmm. read your Bible mm-hmm. on here on other episodes, and I think this is a really, really good example of if you start with your circumstances and then just go to the Bible to look for something that might make you feel better about it, that's not really what the Bible was written for.
Well, and just to make you feel better, or just any something that you identify with. I mean, it isn't whether it makes you, you know, feel good or bad or whatever, but if you say this little phrase is like my... You know, and I think it could be a phrase, it could be a pet verse. I mean,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
I mean, there are a lot of people who have favorite verses that have times of refreshing will come. Well, that, you know, for instance, I mean, that's another phrase that is people really like or something. And
right.
But that's not
yeah.
how it works exactly.
Right. And a verse like that is a good reminder of the faithfulness of God and stuff like that. But this is different to me. This to take your situation that you're in, no leadership, no baptism, and just say...
And to explain that
we are, yes, it's okay that we are the way we are because I found these words in the Bible that say because the fullness of the Gentiles.
So the idea was that the church was in the situation it was in because the fullness of the Gentiles had already come in?
Yeah.
In other words, so the interpretation must have been that the full number of Gentiles was already accomplished. So, number one, didn't need any more, so there's no evangelism or baptism.
Right.
And we're just waiting it out at that point.
Yeah, we're just waiting out the end because
okay.
there's still a lot of people hanging on to that end time prophecy, just thought that it was misunderstood, and even though it was supposed to have happened back in the early 70s, but this was still just it was just an explanation for why we weren't like any of the other churches. We were the only right church, and yet we didn't have the things that a lot of other churches around did have, like baptism and some of those things. But this was why. So it made
That's interesting because if you just read it at face value,
yeah,
it says until the fullness of Gentiles. In other words, it's not in yet.
Right. And But they would have said that's when Paul wrote that it hadn't come in yet. Uh-huh. Now it has. Like we were the fulfillment of this.
The what?
Yeah.
That we were the fulfillment.
We were the last Gentiles.
That Oregon City was?
Yep. Oregon City Followers of Christ Church.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah, I mean that might be a little bit of overreading here into the text, I suppose. For what reason? Like, how do you get that? I mean, I suppose you say that, I mean, we don't have a preacher, so that must have been what closed the number of the Gentiles or something.
More people.
What was the event that said, okay, it's full?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that it helped explain Walter's dream of baptism will end and then time will end. So baptism ended when Walter died, which did happen around the time that he said it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then time didn't end. But this explained why baptism ended
so
in his dream.
So the fullness of Gentiles would have been that.
Yes, it would have been that.
Okay.
Which my first question as a kid was, well, what about the people then born to, like that weren't born yet when that happened, like me? Baptism ended before I was even born. And then what about me? And it was explained that if as long as you're now born into a family that was here when the fullness of the Gentiles came in, you'll be okay.
Well, good for you.
Right? You know, I mean, you don't even know what to say about it, right?
Yeah. It's,
no, I don't. I don't mean to laugh about because it is so serious. The misreading of this has left people just fearful and really trapped there.
It is interesting because I think it's really. I mean, that's sad that that's the case because the fullness of the Gentiles phrase as such is just right in the middle of two things about Israel that are the point of the whole point of the paragraph is about Israel. It tries to explain what has been happening to Israel.
Right.
Not what's been happening to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are like incidental here. It says the blindness in part has happened to Israel. So what are we trying to explain? We're not trying to explain anything about the Gentiles or the a local church or a group of people. We're saying, okay, the blindness in part has happened to Israel until this happens. So all Israel will be saved.
Yeah.
So the whole point is that this has something to do with the means by which, the Jewish people probably that they'll be saved. Anyway, to take it and say we're a bunch of Gentiles and this explains our situation.
Right.
Is, that the whole paragraph itself doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, it is. And in fact, it's, I think believing what I believed about this made me guilty of what Paul's warning this church against, actually. And I'll say more about that later. But first, I want to say that at fall, it was looked at very much like time frames that we were talking about. I remember being told one time that when I made the comment, I can't believe the Pharisees had Jesus right in front of them and they missed him. And the response was, well, you should be glad that they did, because if they wouldn't have, you would have never had a chance. And it just made me think, like, there was such a split. I don't think it's a hard thing to explain. They call it a mystery here, right, of the partial blindness of Israel. They were God's chosen people, but the Gentiles being brought into God's plan for salvation was part of the plan all along. It wasn't like he was thinking, if Israel accepts my son, then that will be enough. But if they don't, then I'll give the Gentiles a chance.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's not, the Gentiles weren't plan B. And
right.
And so in this earlier, Paul's talking about some of that same pain of his people, because Paul was a Jew, and his people missed, they had all the promises of God, and they missed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was explaining that, and he goes through talking about where was that he was talking about it's unbelief that,
right, verse 20, it's right above that, it says,
yeah.
Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith.
Right.
Don't be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you'll be cut off. And so
right.
he is warning them and not to be too full of themselves, I guess.
Right. Don't put your pride in the fact that you've gotten this opportunity now, or whatever it is, that you've received this through faith. Don't take pride in that, because you'll turn away from Jesus too if you start putting your pride in your faith in yourself. And that's exactly what I was doing at Followers when I took this verse and accepted it as meaning we were the last ones that were going to be saved. I'm haughty is the word they use there, or mm-hmm. prideful. I don't know how else you could explain that.
Well, yeah, and I think, the haughtiness or the pride comes from unbelief.
Yes.
And what I just started reading said, because of unbelief they're broken off, you stand by faith.
Yeah.
And so if you stand, and see, the how shall I say it? The rules are the same for everybody.
Yes.
For Jews and for Gentiles, that the just shall live by faith, that your response to Jesus is faith or it's not.
Right.
Or it's either, belief or unbelief.
Right.
And that's the very, easiest part of the gospel that, children learn early is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes. And so the way that you have, relate to Jesus is belief. Whoever believes has everlasting life. And the whole point here is not that you work or earn your salvation or put, you know, your hope in how good you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's actually unbelief. Right. That's what gets you broken off.
Right.
And so the, you know, it goes back to the same thing. Maybe, I don't know if we sound like a broken record, because we do go back to that all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
That the gospel is a free gift and you receive it by faith, or it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast or be haughty.
Right.
And that's what happens when it's, you know, I'm doing pretty well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I get to be pretty haughty on that. And so that's, ultimately, you might say, oh, I want to talk about the fullness of the Gentiles. The issue really isn't the fullness of the Gentiles.
Right.
The fullness of the Gentiles sort of explains.
Right.
Explains. This might be an overstatement, but it excuses.
Yeah.
The trust that one would have in yourself.
Yes.
Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to trust in Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sins, that he rose again, that I might be made right with God. And I'm right with God because of Jesus, not because of me. And there's nothing to be haughty about there. It's
right.
Almost embarrassing that I needed him to save me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's great. And you talked about your works and that haughtiness in what you do. Some of it too can be in where you were born too, and that's been a problem for people throughout the Bible, for Israel. They put their faith in being children of Abraham,
and they were born in the right family.
Yeah, they were born in the right place,
so this whole paragraph is about Israel, right? Not about the Gentiles.
Yeah,
and then he says, lest you be wise in your own opinion. So even them, who we know were born in the right family.
Right, right.
They ended up being wise in their own opinion.
Right.
And that ended up getting him cut off.
Yeah. And I think that's where it hits so close to home with me, is the people who are putting their faith in where they were born or where they attend church, like I did for most of my life. That's where salvation was going to be found for me. And there are a couple things on here that, you know, I mentioned that this part of the teaching in the fullness of the Gentiles starts in chapter 9 of Romans. It's like 9 through 11. He's kind of making one big point. But in verse 6 of chapter 9, 6 through 8, he says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. He's talking about the promises that Israel had, and now they had missed Jesus. And Paul's saying, but it's not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. So he's making a distinction between faith or not. He's saying it doesn't matter that you were born a child of Abraham in the flesh. It matters if you believe God like Abraham did. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. And I just see so many people, the fullness of the Gentiles allows people, or it excuses people, like you said.
The phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles.
Yes, right?
Not the actual fullness,
right.
but the phrase, the fullness, right.
That phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles, the way it was taught at Followers, excuses people to continue to put their faith in where they were born, what family they were born to. And I just want to be as clear as we can possibly be that will do nothing for you, mm-hmm. that there is no salvation in who your dad is or what church you go to. There is salvation only in Jesus. And I mean, there's Jesus says it too in John chapter 8. He's talking to a group of Israelites. I think it was Pharisees, but I'm not sure. But it says in verse 39, they answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, that is not what Abraham did. So for Jesus, it didn't matter. He's saying if you were true children of Abraham, and he's talking about by faith, not by blood. So yeah, I probably said enough about that, but I just want to make that very clear that, because I had that wrong for most of my life.
Yeah, I still don't know what to say about, the making much of the fullness of the Gentiles. I will, I'll believe you that was important to you. It really does come down to the same thing that all these other, everything kind of comes down to the same place. Are you going to trust Jesus?
Yeah.
Or are you going to trust yourself? And it might be how good you do in your works, but it also might be your heritage, or it might be, your which church you go to, might be any number of things, but those all kind of reside outside of Jesus and not and inside you. So
and it's just and Jesus, or Paul does say too, that really there is no distinction anymore between Jew and Gentile. We've talked about it on here. I think it was our dark lines of that you are either in Christ or you're not. Those are the two kinds of people that there are. And in Galatians, Paul writes, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. Of you are all one in Christ, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." I just think that it's,
So you're bringing that up to say that, the fullness of the Gentiles or the fullness of the Jews or the fullness of the slaves or whatever doesn't matter, because Christ is, again, the one who saves. Yeah. And to be united with Christ by faith is what you're after, right?
I mean, that's what you're... Yeah, that's why I bring that up, because so many people, like when Cindy and I left Followers, this is what we were confronted with, was fullness of the Gentiles. That it's... And
so, how did that go? I mean, I can't imagine being confronted with that. I guess that's my thing.
Yeah, no, that this is... It was taught here that it is the fullness of the Gentiles. Nope. You don't have a chance to make it anywhere else, basically. This is your last chance. It really isn't, it isn't overstating it to say that when I believed those things, this is just another example of where I took Jesus out of God's plan for salvation and I put the followers of Christ Church in his place. Mm-hmm. So when I was told, this is your only way to make it, is staying here. That Jesus is the only way to make it. You can't do that. So they were saying, because we were taught the fullness of the Gentiles had come in, this is now the only way. And that might sound like the silliest thing you've ever heard, but it's decades of teaching people this.
It would be decades.
And it's... it's scary for people, because when you tell them they're walking away from the only way left and you've got a few words out of the Bible to back it up, or that you're trying to back it up with, and I didn't really know, I've talked about on here, I didn't know where I was going, but I knew that wasn't true at that point. I did, because I brought it up. I said, I don't think that's what that means. I argued against the fullness of the Gentiles. And I said, I don't think that's what that means. Okay. And I was met with, well, the last elder that we had taught that from the pulpit. And I said, I know. And they said, and he was called by an apostle, the same as Paul and Peter. And like just driving the fear of the authority that was behind this teaching of the fullness of the Gentiles. And that basically saying you're walking away from what you were told by someone with the same authority as the original 12 apostles, And it was like, I don't agree. I'm sorry. I just don't see it that way anymore. But there are a lot of people out there that I think are in the same position that I was in, that don't think that's necessarily the right place to be, but they're scared of what if it is the fullness of the Gentiles? But what if you've got that wrong? That would be my question. What if you've got that wrong? Because the entire Bible tells you that Jesus is the only way. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. All the way through the Bible, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That does not fit with the understanding that was taught about the fullness of the Gentiles, and that now the followers of Christ Church is the only way.
Well, and that so there's no reason then for anyone to turn to Christ, because the fullness of Gentiles has happened and it's done. And so that any turning is done, any repentance is done, any really...
Yeah, I mean, the way we understood it.
The way you understood it, okay.
Yeah, way we understood those things. So,
yeah, I think you're probably right then, to you know, invite people to question that and say, you know, it is just a phrase, and, you know, and what are the odds that the phrase means that now, all the Gentiles are done, that there are no Gentiles anymore being saved.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it meant.
Yeah.
So that, I think there's really good reason to question that. I mean, I just talked to somebody this weekend who last week placed her faith in Christ and trusted Jesus, and she's a Gentile, and she turned.
Yeah.
And it's happening all over the world now, in China, in Iran, in Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just is, you know, I suppose you don't have to agree with Mark about, like, what the fullness of the Gentiles is, but but the fact that really it's just a phrase that you know, you can only understand in the context of what is written.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, the chances that actually means that sometime in the 60s that Gentiles were finished being saved, I think is probably, it's probably good to question that.
Yeah.
And if and then I suppose there's several other questions that would cascade from that, but don't let that be the stopper, I think is what you're... That's kind of why you wanted to talk about this, isn't it?
It is, and I didn't want to avoid it really any longer, but I didn't quite know how to talk about it. But I think that's really, as we talk through this, the most important thing is, what if your understanding of that is wrong? And and I'm saying that it is, clearly. I'm saying that my understanding of that was wrong. Mostly... For a lot of reasons, partly because it made me disregard other scriptures in the Bible, like about getting baptized, about all the... It made me disregard those. But the number one reason that it's wrong is because it turns people away from following Jesus for their salvation.
Faith in Jesus for salvation,
Yeah, that's why. So.
Yeah, so I mean, because the other thing is, really, you don't have to know exactly what it does mean.
No.
If it doesn't mean what you thought it meant, that's all you need to know
right
now. I mean, someday maybe figure it out. Someday maybe I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, trying to understand it the best you can is, I think, is really fair. And I hope that people will be fair with even that phrase of the text.
Yeah. So I hope people will go back and read 9 through 11 and see that it's about... Paul is just in anguish for people who don't have their faith in Jesus and telling people
and
to
read Romans 1 through 8 where he does make very clear how amazing and comforting and soul-satisfying it is
yeah.
to place your faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why he's in anguish when people don't.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he turns right to that in chapter 9. So, well, we would sing a song more about Jesus. And that's really what we're talking about
yeah,
here.
I guess it is, isn't it? Yep.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. And more about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own, more of his kingdom's sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. There's a lot in there that that we were singing twice a week that don't line up at all with believing that Gentiles aren't being saved anymore or something like that.
Right.
So, but all that is not just listen to what you're singing when you're singing those and do go learn more about Jesus. That's what's gonna, the more you learn about him, the more trustworthy you'll find him and it will change your life.
Yeah, that's really good advice, Mark. I am actually have to say, I'm glad we talked about this.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.